Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Here we go.
Yes, that's Dancing in the Moonlight there. And tomorrow we're going to see the first full moon of 2026. It's known as the Wolf Moon, and it's the first of 13 full moons that we'll get to enjoy this year. And separately, it's 50 years since a country has embarked on a manned lunar mission. That's something that NASA is hoping to change this year. Well, joining me now to discuss all things lunar is astronomy expert Danielle Murphy. Danielle, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Danielle, we'll start first of all with the Wolf Moon. Sounds dramatic. Why is it given that name? What does it mean?
Yeah, it does sound dramatic, actually, doesn't it? So this time of year, it used to be thought that we would hear the wolves crying at the full moon because they'd be hungry and it's the middle of winter and things like that. And now I'm not a biology expert, but from what I understand, that it's kind of been proven that that's not true, but they do speak to, or I guess howl to each other to find like hunting, organize their hunting and find their boundaries for their territories and that sort of thing. But it tends to happen around this time of year when the full moon happens in January. So it's been called the Wolf Moon, named after the wolf crying in the middle of winter.
And there are nicknames for other moons throughout the year. I think most people will probably know about the Harvest Moon.
Yeah. So actually every full moon throughout the year has a different name, and a lot of it's linked up to animals. So like there's the sturgeon moon for the fish and that kind of thing. And then there's one of my favorites, which is the strawberry moon. So that's around the time of the year when the strawberries are ripe. And so everyone actually has its own name and it's connected to something, usually in nature.
And Danielle, the moon itself, it has a real draw for humans. It features a lot in mythology across various cultures.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially in the Chinese culture, it's one of my favorites. They have, here we use the man in the moon, and we say that we see a man in the moon. And when you look at it, you can kind of see it looks like there's a dark spot that looks like a head, and then another one that looks like a body, and then two legs. But if you go out and you look at the moon as it's rising, and it's kind of on its side, you might actually see a rabbit instead. And so the Chinese see a rabbit in the moon, and it's connected to their mythologies because they connect that to the jade rabbit, which was the companion of their moon goddess, which was Chang'e. And she resided in her moon palace. So they see the rabbit on the moon where we would look at the man on the moon.
And Danielle, people might remember this from science classes at school, but the moon doesn't actually give out its own light.
Right. Yeah. So it's reflecting the sunlight back to us. So it's not giving off its own. It's not its own light source, but it's reflecting sunlight onto the Earth.
OK. And now moving on, we've had humans going to the moon before. This year looks like it's going to be quite an exciting year of going back to that. We stopped sending people to the moon in the 1970s, but that's going to return this year. Is that right?
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm so excited about this. I've been excited about this for a good few years now. And they have, NASA has been preparing the Artemis mission, and also connected to mythology, because we had Apollo go the first time. And Apollo's sister in mythology is Artemis. So the new mission back to the moon is named after Apollo's sister. And this is a different sort of program where Apollo went out to the moon and collected rocks, played some golf, did some stuff, and then came back. Artemis, this is different in that they're planning on going out and actually building and living on the moon and having a lunar village. So it's a very different type of mission than the Apollo mission, with the intention of using the moon as a stepping stone. We'll see how humans perform and live on another surface that's not Earth. We haven't had that happen before. We've lived in the International Space Station, but we haven't lived on another surface. So if that goes well, the plan is then move on to Mars. So there's a longer program here. It's not just just back to the moon. It's to eventually go on to Mars.
That's fascinating. And if they have that lunar village, Danielle, on the moon, first of all, can you describe what that actually means?
Well, they're going to be having kind of what I've seen in terms of the drawings they have for the buildings. They'd be like domed buildings on the surface of the moon. And then there's a couple different ideas of how to do these structures, because one of them is to use the actual lunar regolith, so the material that's on the moon, to actually build these shelters. And then a nice domed surface that might be covered in the regolith would be helpful for protecting humans inside to things like radiation. Like here on Earth, we have this wonderful atmosphere that protects us from so many things in space, things like parts of, I was gonna say asteroids and things, but like space debris. So we are protected constantly by our atmosphere, where on the moon we wouldn't be protected. And radiation is an issue, space debris is an issue. So we might have to build into the lunar regolith to actually get a bit more protection for the people living there in the villages. It's a very different way of thinking about a lifestyle than if you were to be living on the surface of Earth.
Okay. And you were saying there that going back to the moon, this is all in preparation for eventually sending more missions to Mars. What's the intention behind that? Is it just to show that it's possible to have humans living for a while on Mars?
I think there's a lot of different reasons to go to Mars. Part of it is this: we have an innate kind of feeling of going out as humans and traveling and exploring and finding that next adventure. And I think Mars really is that. So once we get to the moon, where do we go next? We go to Mars, because Mars is a similar planet to Earth in that it's rocky, we can stand on it, we could take things there and build things. And so it's our neighbor too. So we don't have to go super far, but it is quite far. Space is actually pretty big. So part of the reason we go back to the moon first is that it only takes 3 days to get out to the moon. So you can do a round trip to the moon in a week. Mars is a different story. It's not going to take a week. It takes months to get out to Mars. And depending on where it is in orbit and how fast we're moving, the fastest we could get there is 6 months.
Okay.
So that's a one-way ticket out. That's a long journey.
Okay, well, exciting year ahead for yourself, Danielle, and anyone else enthusiastic about astronomy. Danielle Murphy, thanks very much for joining us on the program.